Will you pray with me? Amado Dios, Espíritu Santo, te damos gracias en el día de hoy. Lord God, Holy Spirit, we give you thanks in this day because we know that you are a divine promise keeper. You are a divine promise keeper, Lord. And we know that you have a special ability to create water even out of the driest of rocks. Pour that water over us today so that we can hear a word that transforms our bodies and our souls. Lord God, help me step aside so that you can be glorified in all that I may say today. Pour a spirit of healing and unity over us, City Well, your beloved church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture out of Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food that we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to them, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. People are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them. They will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that they will have twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses said to Aaron, to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him." Who are we? We're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, quietly you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like sand appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. It never ceases to amaze me how much the discipline of listening forms our role as Christians. It doesn't take much these days to hear and witness the pain that the world is experiencing. From missiles flying over Japan, to political unrest in the Middle East, to witnessing some of the most massive natural disasters we have seen in recent history. Not only in North America, but all over the world. If we listen closely, we can hear groaning in pain, murmuring, complaining as the Israelites did in the desert, wondering if anyone is listening. When we are really attentive, groaning oftentimes sounds a lot like the howl of a hurricane and the rumble of an earthquake. It seems now more than ever, the role of God's people is one of what I would call a divine listener, attempting to listen to the frequencies of this world that many are too afraid listen to, or just flat out refuse to do so. The scripture we have before us today is one where God's people murmured. The Israelites were in a constant state of yearning and discontentment. And even though God was faithful, as we said in Exodus chapter 2, that he heard their groaning, remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that God saw the sons of Israel and took notice of them. One translation even said, looked down at the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. Even though God was listening, the pain in which the Israelites found themselves oftentimes made it difficult to remain faithful, to remain hopeful and curious about God's presence in their midst. I mean, who can blame them? The sheer trauma and disorientation of once again being a displaced people, this time in the middle of the desert with no immediate identifiable resources. I would imagine with the nerves of, you know, the nerves were frayed due to the recent events of just escaping the bondage of Pharaoh's Egypt. The promise of God being faithful and remaining true to God's covenant provided little relief to a people who, frankly, were sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think it's in this way that one begins to see oneself in the Israelites. The reality is, CityWell, it is incredibly difficult to meet the spiritual needs of a people who need a roof over their heads, have mouths to feed, and who experience the impending threat of violence and deportation in their own communities, who are unable to live a life of dignity as a result of the system that aim to profit the pharaohs in our midst while leaving others in bondage and indefinite servitude. All this is to say that in the midst of pain, and justifiably so, we can be a people who quickly forget who God is. And if God really is listening to our suffering, our complaining, yearnings, and desires for life. When you don't know when your next meal is coming or you're going to lay your head down that night, being encouraged to contemplate the vastness of the universe, or in church to comfort someone talking about the great majesty and sovereignty of God as patronizing. As I think about this personally, I can't help but think of my grandmother and all of my relatives in Puerto Rico who just recently experienced a hurricane they've had in over 80 years without electricity, cell phone service, and many without food and water. Listening intently, embodying verse 8, that you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat. You're grumbling against him. In other words, those of us are called, not in our righteousness, though we're saviors or but because of who we know God, the ultimate first response. Knowing all too well that our prayers can oftentimes be, Lord Jesus, bring me who can listen. I have not heard your voice in a long time. To be who people who listen is one thing, but to be people who listen and respond requires the presence of the Holy Spirit, powered by the one who first, and him are able to divinely witness all that is God. Those impacted by hard tests, dealing with the aftermath of a mass from starting affordable housing for justice in our own community, are murmuring to the Lord, wondering if God hears their cry. Well, as a people of God, we are being invited to a season in a world arguably more noisy in the history of humanity, and to listen to God in the desert, believe through the power of the Spirit that God is present, that God has heard God's people, and that God will respond. Amen? I just want to quickly say that it's incredibly hard to listen well. As I obsessively scroll down my Facebook to catch the news of the happenings in Puerto Rico, and praying for my mom to receive a phone call from her mother to know that she's okay, and to know that, you know, we just recently heard that my uncle lost his house. Does he have a game plan? What's he going to do? I feel incredibly useless, paralyzed in moments, and it makes me sometimes not even want to listen because I say to myself, what could I possibly do, God? I tell God, I'm tired of listening. All I do is listen all day. more do you want from me? What good is listening, God, if there is little that I can do? Does anyone feel me? If I'm going to be real, a lot of the time, I feel more like a Pharaoh than a Moses or an Aaron. I don't press scan on my radio. I have preset frequencies that I like to listen to. And in the rest, I choose to intentionally or out of my ignorance, perhaps ignore. It's as if I tell God I have met my listening quota. And then, through my preset stations, with any other frequency, any other story that creates an interruption in what I'm doing, causes what I care about. I relate to the Israelites, because even though this passage is around, most of the Israelites would have remembered the parting of the Red Sea and the miraculous nature which God went to bat for them to be liberated from the bondage of Pharaoh. In their minds of departure, they quit as bring them to this point. Does anyone else get like a holy amnesia in their testimony when they go through a struggle with what they're doing, but they forgot about all the things that God has brought them to up to this point? Have a time. In the midst of pain, the Israelites once again needed a reminder. They knew that even though God has done marvelous miracles months prior, they needed God again and again and again to be sustained, both physically, emotionally, needed to was show up. And show up I did. Bread and meat as well. And providing this basic need of food, I was for their spiritual as well. Verse 2, twilight you shall eat, the morning fill of bread. Then you shall go. Then you intently to the needs of God's people, God would have needs as well as their needs. Directly to the people who struggled with a feeling similar to our own in our own communities. Will my kids be safe? Is God really feel again? They are listening to their concrete and practical needs, speaking super feeling of perpetual wandering. As divine listeners, we begin to listen and respond to the deepest groanings and communities in the world. In a world that is busy, we are called to be still. In a world that says you are what you do, we are called to be in a rhythm of life that emphasizes relationship and curiosity. In a world that values profitable quarters over the value of a life, we are called to listen to those that the world is deemed unworthy to speak, those amongst us unable to breathe due to the oppressive forces that systematically aim to squeeze the breath out of our lungs and clog our ears with the noise of sensationalism and parroting sound bites. In a world that says there is no God, how can there be? In the midst of such violence and chaos, we are called to make God's presence known, to be divine listeners who, like Moses and later Jesus, listened to the Father and were compelled to action, meeting us at the point of our greatest need, a God who hears our murmuring, our deepest yearnings. It reminds us that God is faithful to God's covenant and to God's people, that our lives be so marked by this faithful proclamation that says, just as we serve a God who listens and responds, we too shall do likewise. I'm reminded of our family covenant, our covenantal practices. One that begins, I would say, with listening. As a CityWell family, we say that we practice listening as the key to authentic relationships. We say that because God listens to us, we are committed to listen deeply. And as our covenant says, to know where God is already at work around us, to know how we are called to bear Jesus. Later on today, after our potluck, going to canoe is an example of this. Holy listening. Brothers and sisters, God's listening does not just take the form of auditory listening, hearing, and responding. God's listening is an embodied movement. It is incarnational. God listening to us is Jesus on the cross. God's listening to us is God dwelling amongst us and seeing skin and bones. God listening to us is God providing us the Holy Spirit so that we can participate and be a vehicle to God's responsive action in the world. We find ourselves a part of a larger story where through faith, we believe as a people that God is faithful and able to respond. God is faithful to respond to deeply met needs, but God also has a deep expectation for those who God speaks to and who God reveals God's self to. Let me say that again. We believe in a God who speaks, but that God also has a deep expectation for those who listen. And we're called to mobilize and act through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. So the question is asked, how do we listen deeply? How do we respond to the needs of others in incarnational and meaningful ways? This is not an exhaustive list by no means, but how I find listening as a holy practice. I would say that we remain present, we remain curious, and we engage historically and contextually. We remain present by pushing back against a world that glamorizes busyness, and we detach ourselves as much as possible from the noise that the world is creating and seek still and quiet spaces in our lives and with others to commune with God. We can't be glamorizing busyness, y'all. We can't be glamorizing business. We remain curious by listening an open and non-judgmental posture, entering the worldview and pain of others who we're called to serve, and not being afraid to reflect on those difficult questions, to wonder about the things that really matter to those around us, and not solely our prep projects and philosophical frustrations. And the third thing, we listen deeply by engaging historically and contextually, by being deeply rooted in the communities in which we live in. God knew Israel's history and was deeply moved by the historical and contextual factors that caused them to be doubtful and concerned about their current condition. Likewise, we are called to be divine listeners of our culture and our people so that we can see God manifest himself in the mundane and in the extraordinary. As I would like to say in therapeutic circles, God has a trauma-informed spirit. City well, we have been tasked the privilege and the responsibility through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ to be empty vessels, anointed containers that listens to the silence as well as to the incredibly loud groans and murmurs of this world that the world often ignores and forgets. May it be that God is made much of as we move toward our neighbor, another in a posture of deep listening